That's the Jackie McLean Quintet with Dat's Dat. That's exactly how he wrote it, Dat's Dat. McLean, of course, is on alto sax, and Charles Tulliver is on trumpet. Herbie Hancock is on piano, and Cecil McBee on bass, and the good old wonderful Ron Hayes on drums. This is from McLean's 1964 album, It's Time. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're going to do a little bit of media literacy today. And this exercise comes out of New Orleans. Mayor Mitch Landrieu of New Orleans proudly announced on Monday that the city had closed what he called a dark chapter in its history that was written more than a decade ago, 11 years to be exact. The city has worked out settlements, he said, totaling $13.3 million in three especially egregious police killings, as well as with plaintiffs in other serious cases involving police brutality and lethal use of force. Most of the cases occurred during the time of Hurricane Katrina in 2005. With some family members at his side, Landrieu assured the public that the settlements were a sign of governmental transparency, accountability, progress, and a resolve to turn the city's notoriously brutal and corrupt police department around. But the mayor's news conference gave several clues about the price that New Orleanians should expect to pay. So we're going to decipher the message he shared with his city and the nation on Monday that, in my view, had many hidden messages. And so we will find the hidden messages in Landrieu's message. That's what we're going to be talking about today. I'm going to share with you a pretty extended clip of the news conference held by the mayor, and I just want to put it in some context for you. The mayor is surrounded by a predominantly black group comprising family members of people who were killed, shot dead by police, and some police officials and some city officials and civic leaders. He went on for about, it was a pretty long statement that he made for somewhere around 24 minutes or so. But he projected a sincerity about what it is he was saying. What I'm asking you to do is to listen very carefully at what is being said so that you can listen very carefully for what is not being said. Remember, we talk about the different levels at which we hear things and see things. So as you listen, you will want to make a note of things that jumped out at you in the course of the statements that he's making in this tape. And also, you will hear from the mother of one of the victims very briefly, but you will hear from her. Keep in mind that this is an official event. This is a news conference called by the mayor. This addresses the matter that just provoked a great deal of reaction in New Orleans. And we have this coterie of officials, governmental and civic and religious, and of course, representatives of various families. And this is what he said. This is Mayor Landrieu, Mitch Landrieu of New Orleans.
We just concluded a prayer service that was an imperfect human way to bring healing and closure to the families that are gathered with us today and to the city of New Orleans. We are joined by representatives of the whole city. Of the city government of New Orleans, our council members are with us, our state legislators are with us. I thank them for being here. We are joined with members of the new New Orleans Police Department, Chief Harrison, and our commanders and our deputy chiefs. I thank them for being here. We are joined by our faith leaders that represent the faith community in the city of New Orleans. We are joined by our friends, and we are joined by council members and counselors, lawyers, who have helped guide the family and the cities through this very difficult process. And we are joined today by the Madison family, the Glover family, the Brissett family, the Robert family, and other families that have been impacted by a very dark moment in the history of New Orleans. During the prayer service, the last song that was sung was a song that was written by the great Sam Cooke. You all know it. It is entitled "A Change Is Gonna Come." It takes us through a painful journey and a painful history of a people and a time that were oppressed, but sings with great hope and great joy that we can be better than who we were. We are here to proclaim from the highest mountaintop that the city of New Orleans, in all of its agony and in all of its joy, can transform itself from a city of violence into a city of peace. But that cannot be done until each and every one of us, in our hearts, in our minds, in the actions that we take, in the actions that we decide not to take as a community or one community and decide to be a community of peace. 12 years ago, on August 28th, all was good in many, many ways for some of us, but not for all of us. And then a man-made disaster struck, which took 1,800 lives, destroyed 250,000 homes, hurt 500,000 homes, and in a moment's notice seemed to take from us everything that could be taken. And as we all tried to help each other get out of the water, even in those darkest times, there were angels among us that we never knew. But evidently there were demons as well. And as all of us were trying to get out of the water and to try to find safety, some of us were crossing a bridge, trying to get to the other side, a figurative bridge and a little bridge. Some of us were walking towards what we thought was safety. Now, let me say this very, very clearly. During that period of time, there are men and women, first responders, men and women of the New Orleans Police Department, EMS, people that came to help us, that did heroic things. They left their family to save others. And many, many, many men and women, especially in the NOPD, are selfless individuals that work really, really hard and live in their communities, and the communities, and they are one. But at that particular time, in that particular moment, as happens over time, there are some individuals that do the wrong thing for the wrong reason and then make it worse by either denying it or covering up. And there were some actions that took place on the Danziger Bridge and in other parts of the city, and in some instances, for one of the families here months before, that were wrong. And we come here today, 12 years later, after all of the rebuilding, after all of the work that we have done, to do the hardest thing for a city. One of them is to say, I'm sorry. And the much more difficult thing is to say, I forgive you. Because both of those are pathways towards a healing for individuals and for communities. And so as we stand here today, we have come to the conclusion of a very painful episode, not only in the life of the city, but a life of the family members that are with us today, in some instances literally, and in some instances figuratively. This prayer service was an attempt for the city, in its very imperfect way, to say very publicly, and I stand in the shoes not only of the mayor of the city of New Orleans today, but I stand on the shoulders of all of the people that have governed this city since the beginning of its time, and I stand instead for all those who are about to come, because we are continuous government, that on behalf of the people of the city of New Orleans, how intensely sorry I am to the members of these families and to the people of the city of New Orleans for the actions that were taken during that fateful time when these individuals were looking for people to protect and serve, and they got the exact opposite. For many, many years, those criminal trials went on. You saw some actions in state court, then you saw some actions in federal court, and it was not until all of those matters were resolved that the city of New Orleans could then take the meek step of trying to resolve through civil lawsuits the damages that were done that can never be repaid, and money can never fill the hole. But I am hopeful that an apology on behalf of the city, and then forgiveness from the family, as almost unfair of us it is to ask that, but equally unbelievably, has been granted by the mothers and the fathers and the brothers and sisters, has been granted to this day. And I am hoping that in some sense, the strength of these families will help the city find peace in our future. We did not wait, as you know. 7 years ago, we asked the Justice Department to become work with us. We are involved in the most comprehensive consent decree in the history of the United States of America. Chief Harrison and the commanders and the deputy chiefs standing behind me are committed to make sure that the way we hire, the way we supervise, the way we train makes it impossible for instances like this to happen. And should they ever happen, that the way that we investigate things now with PIB and with the Federal Bureau of Investigation and with the Federal Police Monitor, that it can never, ever be covered up. That in some small way, the lives that have been maimed and the lives that have been taken will not lives that have been or will be lived in vain. And so we are here to announce that we have arrived at a civil settlement with all of the families that were involved in this instance, as well as the Robert family, who lost a son sometime actually before Katrina, in an effort to make sure that the people of the city of New Orleans know that we are going to change as a people, and we are going to change as a city, because we choose to. And the people standing behind you have chosen to give us the grace and the blessing of forgiveness for what it is that happened to them. And I want every law enforcement officer in this city to know that we love you and we care for you. Both the chief and I have been to too many funerals of police officers. And the families here know as well that the overwhelming majority of police officers are here to care for us, and they support you, and I support you, and we support you. But we do not support individuals, whether they be police officers or not, that do the wrong thing for the wrong reasons. Is that we as a community have to be one in making sure that we all protect each other for the right reason at the right time from now until the end of time. And so I just, again, want to be very, very simple about this. The most important words that we can speak to each other in times of trouble are, I am sorry, and I forgive you. And I want the people of the city of New Orleans to know and to understand that those are not easy words, but they are necessary if we are going to change who we are, as wonderful as our city is, from a city of violence into a city of peace. And as the book says, let it begin with me. And so the city is here today to try, to the extent that is humanly possible, to bring closure to this dark, dark, dark time, and to pledge that it shall never happen again, because, as I have said, change is going to come. God bless you all, and thank you. And please let me call Chief Michael Harrison up.
Thank you, Mayor. We are so grateful for your leadership. And under the leadership of Mayor Landrieu, we are changing the entire culture of the New Orleans Police Department, starting with how we train new recruits, and veteran officers are undergoing more training than ever before. So that training includes important training like de-escalation training that prioritizes the safety of both officers and the citizen and lays out a series of steps officers should take before deciding to use force. Once our officers are trained, we're making sure that they're properly supervised, so that we can make sure that the work that we train them to do is actually being done, and being done in the manner that we want them to do it. It's a comprehensive system of accountability that's holding officers responsibility for their actions, all the way from the top down and from the bottom up. In fact, we built a special bureau within the police department that's working every day to conduct audits in the department's compliance to make sure we're in compliance with the federal consent decree. A recent audit of our compliance bureau showed that just this year, our officers turned on their body cameras nearly 100% of the time in every instance that they were required to do so. And on top of our own checks and balances, there's an unprecedented level of transparency within the New Orleans Police Department, and we have more independent reviews of our work than ever before, and we certainly welcome it. So our Public Integrity Bureau is embedded with members of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We have an Office of the Inspector General. We have an independent police monitor, the Metropolitan Crime Commission. We have our consent decree monitor, the Department of Justice, and, of course, a federal judge. If we find a problem, we do not make excuses. We take swift action against anyone who chooses to make a bad decision. And we put systems of accountability in place to make sure it doesn't happen again. So you have my commitment that we will continue to build a professional, community-oriented police department that will make no separation between the community and the police. We are all part of the community, and we are here to serve and protect you. We would do anything and everything we can do to prevent this kind of tragedy from ever happening again, and we will take aggressive action against any officer who chooses to violate our policies, the law, or the community's trust. So, Mayor, again, thank you again so much for your leadership. At this time, I'll call Ms. Sherelle Johnson.
Good afternoon. My name is Ms. Sherelle A. Johnson. I am the mother of the late James Rosette Jr., who was only 17 and was murdered on that Danziger Bridge. Since that time, it has been an awful long and rough road, but me and my family got through it. And today, I'd like to send on certain thank you, Mayor Landrieu, and the City of New Orleans for this open apology to me and my family, and we accept it wholeheartedly. Again, I'd like to say thank you, Mayor Landrieu. You made my day, and now this is closure for me, and I can go forth feeling better because I know the old New Orleans does not exist anymore. Thank all of you, and have a blessed holiday. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, we listened for quite a while to what was said. Now, you're going to tell me what wasn't said at 888-874-4888. If you had just shown up at this news conference, what would you have taken away from based on what you heard? And what, now that you have listened to three speakers, the mayor, the police chief, and the mother of one person who is saying that, you know, it's going to be a better day, and she thanked the mayor for basically issuing an official apology himself. But are you confused about what's going on here? Do you have any idea based on what we listened to about what this news conference was about? 888-874-4888. This is a very useful exercise, and we'll talk about it once we've heard from some people and what they thought about it, because there's something very, very valuable to learn here about official explanations, official reports, but you're not quite sure what the hell they're saying. All right, I'll wait for just a little bit more, and then we can see, I'll just go into it and explain. All right, I wouldn't wait any longer. You will notice that a lot of interesting phraseology was used, referring to something. We get the feeling there was this was something important, but we have no idea what it is. It was called all kinds of things. It was called a tragedy. It was called a dark, dark moment. It was called a really bad thing that happened. Some things were wrong. We got a whole bunch of vague words, but nobody actually said, and especially the mayor, nobody actually said, what is this all about? They refused to tell us what this tragedy is. It was called an instance. What is an instance? Do you normally hold a news conference to discuss an instance? Clearly there's something going on here. And the police commissioner talking about people making bad decisions. Well, obviously this was something big, but nobody said what it was. The mayor refused to use a specific term. Nobody used a specific term except the mother of one of the victims. She was very clear. She said, and she referred to all the nebulous things very specifically by saying her son was murdered on the bridge by the police. She didn't dance around it. No vagaries going on here. She described herself as Sherelle Johnson, the mother of James Brissette, who, she said, was murdered on the bridge, trying to cross the bridge during the flooding in Katrina, when Katrina struck. In fact, her son was among a raft of cases that they announced on Monday officially came to a close because the city and the families of the victims settled. They settled, which is one thing. I have issues with settlements. But I guess the thinking was that too much time had gone by. Let's close this thing. It's enough pain. We've been at it for 11 years, and in some cases more, and we should just bring this to a close. But I want to impress upon you the gravity here. It's not that they just came to settlements. This involves 17 families suing the city of New Orleans because officers of the New Orleans Police Department dispatched a whole bunch of people. And then they covered it up. So this lovely, well-organized news conference is a kind of a final stake in the heart, with the mayor then insisting, because he wants this thing to go away, insisting now he's going to set the rules. The rules are, two things are required: to say, I am sorry, presumably that is to represent the city's portion of this whole debacle, to say you're sorry. And then for the other side, that's the families, the grieving families, these 17 families, to say, I forgive you. You believe this? He has done the right thing, and he's getting a lot of press because he has had the nobility to say, I'm sorry. That's all that's required of him now, to say, I'm sorry. And now he has said he's sorry. So it's a done deal. But the families who have been waiting this long for justice, they must take on the added burden of saying, I forgive you. I forgive the city for murdering my husband or my brother or my son. I forgive you. That's my duty to tell the city. After you've done all this killing, after you have done all the cover-ups, I am now obligated to forgive you. So now all of this hoopla was made, the news conference and all of this stuff was done, to certify to the public that the people, the black folks of New Orleans, this, especially these folks who are part of the settlement, they have expunged the city of blame. They have no more blame. Now we're hearing about all the new procedures that have come into play, and the cops are turning on their cameras as they are required to. In situations, as the police chief said, they've gone through training to avoid this kind of tragedy. They never specify what the tragedy is. You had police killing people. And in this case, 17 people are being represented here in the settlement. But the price for settling is that they have to forgive and hold the city harmless. That would be the only condition that a settlement would be agreed upon by the city. You'll have to agree that the city is not responsible for murdering people. I talked about the Justice Department and whatnot. No, the simple issue is very, very easy to discern. Police dispatched all of these people brutally and against all police procedures. They murdered these people and then they covered it up. And now the mayor comes in, having cajoled or in some other way persuaded 17 families to say, okay, let's just get this thing done with. We will hold you harmless. Let's move on. And then on top of that, the other insult is for 17 people, 17 families, the city offers a measly $13.3 million. You see the price of progress and reform, police reform. You have to suffer this kind of brutality, and you have to hold the city harmless, which it is not. And you have to come before the public and sanctify the arrangement by saying, we forgive the police department for doing this. We forgive these cruel police officers. We forgive the entire city bureaucracy for participating in a cover-up of the brutal ways in which these people were treated, killed, murdered. That was the correct word, murdered. And what was her son trying to do? Just cross a bridge to safety. So you can see how very carefully things are orchestrated. And how almost automatically, especially when the victims of such violence are African American, it's a casual thing. It's no big deal. We'll throw them some money. 17 families have to now divvy up $13 million. So we ride back to where things started, about the valuation of Black life, literally. You think you can look at a similar scenario involving whites, 17 white people, and say, okay, we give you $13 million. Thanks a lot. And now forgive us officially, and we all go home. Without anybody describing what this is about. The mayor has yet to use homicide or the shooting deaths or the killings of. He wasn't even going to use the word murder. But he was, you know, this is kind of like very difficult for him to define, because even now he refuses to ascribe and assign blame to his police department for which he is directly responsible. So you call a news conference to discuss nothing except the two things, that's his theme, the two things that are required here to heal the whole city. It's just for him to say, I'm sorry, which he said, I'm sorry. Okay, well, that's done. But now the victims have to hold the city harmless and say, we forgive you. What the hell is that? We forgive you for killing our husbands, killing our sons, killing our brothers. We forgive you. Because black folks are just so deeply spiritual that they see this kind of thing very differently. It means that they're going home to the Lord. Yes? So they don't interpret death, no matter how horrible, the same way everybody else does. They're very spiritual. In fact, the mayor cited very early on in his portion of the news conference, Sam Cooke. You know, spiritual stuff. No. This is still about police killings, murders that had been sanctioned. These people had to go through hell for 11 years to get a modicum of justice. 11 years. The Justice Department, we know how dedicated they are to justice. The Justice Department indict anybody? A couple of the police officers were charged, but then the charges were dropped. This is direct evidence, in my opinion, of the dichotomy of justice itself in the United States. And it continues every day. The people who are wronged, and everybody agreed that these were unjustified killings. 17 families affected here. And it all boils down to having a news conference in which, even after 11 years, the purpose of the news conference was to have somebody representative of the 17 families, the aggrieved people, the wronged people, to now say, we forgive you. Now, that is offensive to me. And it should be offensive to all citizens, all people. It is not enough. And it is certainly out of place to require people to do that, to sanction the injustices done to them as a requirement for a settlement in a case. You've heard me criticize settlements on this program many times, especially by the black lawyers who find themselves attached to very high-profile cases. They have no stomach for litigation. And they themselves also want to have these cases hurried up by any means necessary, so that they can get their cut, and then they cut out. No justice is done. I have seen no court papers pertaining to the murder of Michael Brown, or of Eric Garner. I've seen no indication that their lawyers, the family's lawyers, intended to litigate these cases or even intended to demand a special prosecutor. Not by standing in front of a microphone and saying, could we get a special prosecutor, pretty, please? That's not how it happens. You have to do battle. They're not interested in that. So even they have come to devalue black life. They want to collect their fee and cut out and wait for the next big high-profile case to happen. They make a living collecting the bones of their people. This news conference in New Orleans got a lot of play. Coverage in the New York Times, coverage by CBS and all these different news organizations contributing to the problem. Not one of the reports bothered to actually offer an analysis. They were very happy to stick to the stereotype here. And the stereotype is, well, it's unfortunate that the police, you know, as the mayor said, they did some bad things and some wrong things. But not one of them described what these wrong things were, with an eye toward demanding further prosecution of these cases. They're part of the press corps for the police department. Mayor Landrieu comes across as a very concerned and genuine guy. And they all congratulated him, all the black folks who were there, including the police chief. They all congratulating the mayor for his leadership. What leadership? Leadership is having the cops who did this under a jail, doing heavy time, like life in prison. It should be a point of shame itself that we're talking here about a case, a collective of 17. And people wonder why it is that the African-American community is so upset about the duality of the law, and certainly about the advantages that are given to police officers who do wrong things, as the mayor says. Sometimes they do wrong things. When was the last time you heard any black defendant described as having done a wrong thing and not being portrayed as a cold-blooded, cold-hearted killer? But if you're not listening carefully, this would be interpreted by you. You would get a sense that here is a well-meaning mayor trying to do the right thing, taking responsibility, being transparent, being accountable, trying to turn things around. And for that, he's a kind of quasi-hero here, because he's trying to, what's the popular word, to heal the city, to bridge the gap between cops and people. He's a very decent guy, a good human being for trying to do something. He comes across as a well-meaning man. But look, underneath all of that, peel a couple of layers off of this onion, and you do get the sulfur. Here's a man who is undertaking something that should make the entire nation shudder. When was the last time you had a case in which you are looking at the impact of police killings involving 17 families? When was the last time? And how is this different from the Klan of the old days? How is the police so-called conduct here any different from a gangster in the street? And what really stuck in my craw is this business. So he's now actually dictating how you have to treat these things if you are to get any cooperation from the city or from the district attorney's office or from the Justice Department. You have to play a role in public relations. You have to bear the responsibility for putting your rights and the murdered person's rights second, if at all it appears on the list of important things. And in order for a settlement to be arrived at, you have to agree. You have to sign papers to say that you hold the city harmless. You do not blame the city. The city has no responsibility. The police officers are not to be held accountable for murdering people. You have to agree to that. No city is going to strike a settlement with anybody unless they first agree, as part of the deal, you have to hold the city harmless. And perhaps lawyers and other people persuaded the families to say, okay, let's get this over with, which is exactly what the city wants. So you see, you have to listen hard to things, because on any given occasion, when you have these kinds of official explanations, you listen to the language. These killings didn't even amount to the level of seriousness that anybody in an official capacity would actually say what happened. Why this news conference is being called? Why is the settlement being arrived at? Because cops from the city killed off a bunch of people. That's what it is. Committed blatant murder. But they won't say it. They won't say it. Now, also interesting, they did have, and the mayor was very, very tactful in the way he did that, and tactical, saying, you know, pointing out, we have people here from, these are faith leaders. The faith leaders are here. Why? Why are they there? What was their role, if any, while the fight was on for justice? What does it mean that automatically you have something involving the black community, and this just so happens to be murder by cops? But for the visual of it, and for the political protection that you seek, you drag them out to stand behind you, as if to suggest again that they are all right with the decisions being made. They're okay with them. And therefore, the community need not pour out into the streets and raise any kind of hell. Your leaders have spoken for you by standing here with me, and I'm the mayor. And I'm telling you, I'm sorry. As if that's enough. Sorry is not justice. Other people in this country know exactly what justice looks like. To say you're sorry is not justice. And you should have absolutely no way to compel me to say, as a condition of delivering even a modicum of justice, that I must publicly forgive you for murdering my relative and hold the city harmless. In all of the big cases that we've talked about, the Eric Garner case, the Michael Brown case, and all of these cases where settlements eventually were arrived at, that was the main condition. We will get this matter off the table the minute you agree and you sign it, you sign the documents, the minute you agree that the city is not in any way liable. The city has no accountability in terms of its legal responsibility for the actions of police officers who are its employees. The city is not prepared to assume responsibility for their actions. And you agree, too, that the city is not responsible for the actions of your employees. See, it all works out. And then you have a nice little news conference, and you talk about this dark, dark time. It's the dark time. It was an incident. Or no, they used the word instance. It was an instance. People doing wrong things and all these other insulting ways of referring to murder by police of people who, in every case, they did not find that the people did anything to warrant being executed. And rather than this case serving as a call to action nationally, again, you have a black president, you have a black attorney general. And in this case in New Orleans, you have a black police chief. So if anybody's under the illusion that, you know, putting a black face in a high place means that there's going to be a change, you're out of your mind. And you're not having, and by the way, this happened in New Orleans under the black mayor, who, well, he's in jail now for corruption, but he was the mayor at the time. So we have to deal with that as an internal contradiction. All the people who could have made a difference here were African Americans. None of them stepped up to the plate. Well, I've gone on for a long enough time today. You'll let me know, of course, tomorrow, being Free Your Mind Friday, I'm sure somebody will let me know what their take is on this development in New Orleans and why it is that it's not getting the traction that it ought to anywhere. It was just a story in those papers that did report it. It was just a story. But this is more than a story. And we should have zero tolerance for the continued practice of basically devaluing the catastrophe, something like this, when it's happened before our eyes. And we see how it turned out. And we have this woman who was very clear about what happened, but nonetheless, what does she say? She says it made her day that the mayor said, "I'm sorry." You know how jarring that is? It made her day, and now she can move on because the mayor said, I'm sorry. Even as he said, her job also is to forgive. What a thing. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Expanding Mind with David Crow. You can reach me at leadstories, L-E-I-D, stories at gmail.com. As always, a pleasure and a great privilege to be in your company. And thank you for indulging me going off like this today. But this thing hit me so hard, I just had to talk about it. Tomorrow is Free Your Mind Friday. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.